We are getting close to the end of the year. Have you got all your end of the year book work done, tax planning? Maybe you want to make some changes to the estate plan, whatever the case may be. We're going to talk about some of those things this morning once again with Bridget Finke. And Bridget, of course, is a partner with Valley Crossing Law over in the Baldwin area, farm girl from the Edgar area, so she knows of what she talks. And Bridget, we are coming to the end of the year, and it seems like every year we get a few little tweaks in the tax laws or whatever the case may be. Is that the case at the end of this year that we should be aware of, or is everything pretty much status quo?
You know, this year we're pretty lucky in that a lot of those things that we were always sweating about at year end, 179, things like that, the bill they passed in December of 15 made a lot of those things permanent. And so we weren't left guessing, of course, permanent until the next stroke of the pen with the new Congress. But at least for now, we haven't been left hanging. You know, there's been those years where you and I have talked, we're sitting here in December saying, well, we think it's going to get extended. We hope it's going to get extended. And in fact, I think at least one year did not get extended until after the fact. So thankfully this year, the waters are a little smoother.
Now, some of those, that December 15 law, what did it make permanent? What are some of the things that were in that bill?
Oh, my, you're putting me to my paces here this morning to come up with all of those
things. Just an idea.
It was the idea of taking the 179, I'm pretty sure the bonus depreciation, some of the energy things. I know the geothermal pumps, that one is just through 16, but a lot of those things got extended further out.
All right, and of course we want to make our tax plans, if indeed we do want to move some money before the end of the year, but in most cases...
Now remember, Bob, I'm not a tax preparer.
No, I know
You know, I just play one on TV occasionally.
But we want to make sure people are aware of the fact that if indeed there was... A fraction of some black on the bottom line rather than red. We want to do some of that. All right, some other things now. New Year plans as we go forward. Some New Year's resolutions. If we haven't gotten some of these things done already, what are some things we should at least start in the process with that estate plan and all the other things around the farm?
You know, I think one of the biggest things that people do is they say, you know, we're just not sure what we want to do. And so they don't get started. They don't do any planning because
that's the worst thing.
Well, you know, it really can be. And, you know, we were just talking this morning about sometimes the surprises that people experience, particularly if maybe they don't have the exact traditional family of, hey, you and I have been married. We've only had children of our marriage. You know, often folks are worried about what happens when both mom and dad have passed away. And how are we going to do this with the kids and the farm kids and the non-farm kids? And look, those are tough decisions. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But if not all of your kids are children of your relationship, it's sometimes a surprise to people that when the first of you dies, it's not automatic that the survivor gets all of the assets of the marriage. And in fact, only 50% of those assets would go to surviving spouse and 50% to the kids.
Let's be specific now, talking about these blended families. Mm-hmm. If my wife would die and I would remarry and the woman I remarry has children and I've got my children, and if she would die, how does the estate plan or how does the law work if we don't have a plan in place as far as dealing with her children, since I don't know, Merrill property reform in Wisconsin, that means her kids are my kids. How does this all work with a blended family?
So if she passed away first, it is not automatic that all of her assets would go to you. Instead, those assets that haven't otherwise been planned for. Now, you know, we've always got the exception of we've got a joint bank account or we've got our house titled as survivorship marital property. Titling factors into that. But anything else that would be just in her name that is a part of your marriage, only 50% to you, 50% to her kids.
So in other words, if her kids want nothing to do with the farm, they're going to own 50% of the farm.
Potentially. Well, 25% if we owned it together. Yeah. So that can be a real surprise. And even now let's change the scenario. You had kids, I had kids, and then we had a child together. Same scenario. I pass away, 50% to you, 50% to all of the kids. the one we had mm-hmm. together, as well as the ones I brought to the marriage. So that can be a big surprise to people, and we can pretty easily plan for that.
Is that the same scenario if I, as the original farm operator, married you and I died before you do, and we have that blended family? Then is that a different scenario?
It gets more complicated because we have the presumption that everything is marital property, meaning 50-50. But we can rebut that presumption and say things are individual for those assets we brought to the marriage. But chances are you brought that farm to the marriage with a bunch of debt that then your labor helped pay down. And so then that property becomes mixed property. And we have to see if we can figure out how to trace out how much of the equity in that farm came into the marriage versus how much was earned as part of our marriage. So certainly getting married where you have previous children, previous marriages, bringing assets to the marriage, doing the planning on the front end so we make really clear what assets are going to remain yours, what assets are going to remain mine, which assets are we going to own together. Being clear about those things is really important for the future planning of the farm.
Is this more than just one of those deals that a couple signs when they get married, that what I brought in is mine, what you brought in is yours, and then after the marriage, what we have is together? Is that the way to do it, or is there another document, since we're dealing with a little bigger opportunity than just maybe a car and a house, that we can do a different document, or should we do a different document?
That agreement coming into the marriage is going to be important, and sometimes we call those prenuptial agreements. Premarital property agreements. So deciding whose assets are whose, but then we want to get to the next level of then what happens to them once one of us passes away. So the classification is step one. And then what's our plan as to how those assets are going to be distributed when one of us passes away, when both of us passes away? And what sort of freedom are we going to give to the survivor to make changes in the future? Are we locking into a joint plan right now, or are we going to let surviving spouse potentially make changes down the road?
Wow. Some gray areas in the law having to do with that.
Well, it can get messy, right? Facts can make things messy. And so doing the planning, putting it on black and white, you making those decisions rather than potentially your children and stepchildren arguing with each other. And oh, by the way, maybe a judge making a determination. You may not be taking action because you're afraid you're not going to make the right decision. I guarantee you, your decision is always going to be a better decision than what may get fought out in the courts after you've passed away.
And unfortunately, that's what it always turns out to be, is a fight.
It sure can be, unfortunately.
All right. So, again, if you're in the blended family situation, make sure you're taking care of everything so that everybody is satisfied with the deal. Bridget, good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Well, I was going to say, we're sure going out on a happy note for the holidays, aren't we?
Well, we're trying to make things better for the families.
This is true. The good news is we've got assets to pass on, and I know it's been a tough year all the way around, but gotta take the long view.
Absolutely. Hopefully things will be better in 2017. Bridget Finke with us once again, Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin. When the phone number, if you need help with any of these estate planning situations or other things, the number is
715-688-4045.
Give Bridget a call. Bridget Finke with us this morning, Valley Crossing Law Office in Baldwin.